This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It doesn't seem like there's much good news for the economy of late, which means there's not great news for most people either, unless, of course, you count the sudden availability of midweek reservations at Le Cirque. But there are some businesses that watch the downturn from a different vantage point, and things aren't all bad. Today, it's postcards from the edge of a shaky economy. We want to hear from you. If you own or work for a business that's seen an uptick in the last couple of months, if you've seen a change in clientele as the economy falters, call and tell us your story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the hour, Kurt Vonnegut's last collection is Vintage Vonnegut, Rueful, Funny, and Poignant. His son Mark joins us to talk about it, and your letters. But first, surfing the ebbing tides of the economy, and let's go right to a listener. Lloyd joins us on the line, and Lloyd's calling us from Bunnell in Florida.
Hello, Neil. Hi.
Hi.
I'm in the entertainment business. I'm the manager of a fireworks manufacturing company, and we've found that business has never been better. People are looking for ways to entertain themselves that don't cost a lot of money, and watching fireworks shows seems to be one of them.
Lloyd, are you trying to tell me that people are going to get more bang for their buck?
Well, we try to give them more, Neil.
And how much has business picked up?
Roughly 30% over last year.
Really?
Yeah. It's astounding. We're doing wonderfully well, and our employees are enjoying the benefits, and so are we.
And in the midst of an economic downturn, you just shake your head and make another order for cherry bombs?
Well, we don't manufacture the kind that consumers buy. We do the things you see in theme parks and major league sports and so forth.
And minor league baseball season and Friday night fireworks after the game. Sure.
Absolutely.
And so your business is doing really well.
It is doing wonderfully well.
Well, congratulations. And well, let's hope that sustains.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much for the phone call.
Good afternoon.
Joining us now is Chad Pratt. He's with us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California. Nice to have you on the program today.
Nice to be here, Neil. Thank you for having me on your show.
And I know, Chad, you're a lawyer. How has your business changed over the past couple of 3 months or so?
I'd say, fortunately for me, that business has increased because more problems are arising.
Like, give us an example.
One example is, let's say you're a small business owner and say 6 months ago you had 10 accounts receivable and they were all paying you timely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the recession, you may have 8 accounts receivable that are 60 days past due, and you may have 2 accounts receivable 90 days past due. The small business owner, therefore, can't sustain his business or pay his bills, his or her bills, so that business owner needs an attorney to help collect the accounts receivable.
So that's, and I guess this is sort of a domino effect. I mean, once one account starts getting late, all of a sudden, a lot of people are making phone calls to their attorneys.
Exactly.
I know, are you also involved in evictions?
Yes, I am. That's another example. When the economy is going well, a landlord may give some tenants more leeway, allow them more time to pay the rent. But getting back to your topic, Neil, of the foreclosure mess, banks are not being so friendly in allowing the mortgage holder, the landlord, to pay the mortgage late. The tenant may lose his job, may have a financial problem. So it is a domino effect in the landlord-tenant arena as well.
And I guess in a lot of ways, your job is about, you're involved in a lot of disputes about money and other real goods from time to time, a lot of the time, in fact. So as times get harder, I guess you'd expect people to become more, anxious.
Yes, exactly. And oftentimes an attorney who helps consumers, helps the small business owner, we only get involved when there's a problem. If people can work out their problems, can settle them, can get along, you don't need an attorney. You only need me at the last minute.
And I also know that you're a guy with a shingle out. You're a very small company. I wonder, do you think lawyers in very fancy firms with big offices to support, do you think they may be having a problem too?
I would think so, because I've been self-employed, a small firm on my own my entire 17-year career. The bigger firms, I'm guessing maybe they're facing some small economic downtime. The bigger, well-heeled clients may not be able to pay on time, but I'm sure the bigger firms are still doing fine.
Uh-huh. I also want—I don't know how much divorce work you do, but one assumes, again, as times get hard, fights that may already be bitter could get even more bitter.
Yes, exactly. A divorce can get ugly. And then there's issues, at least in California. I'm a California attorney only, but we're a community property state. So, both husband and wife are liable for the car. Both husband and wife are liable for the Nordstrom credit card.
So, again, people are going to be really concerned about who owes what and exactly what's happening with their money.
Exactly.
Chad, is a little depressing. I know business is good, but you have to worry sometimes.
Yes, it is depressing. I have hope. I'm optimistic. I think there's good in people. I think the economy is moving forward, and I think we're all going to get through this.
Well, thank you for that, Chad, and we appreciate it. And if we need help in Pasadena, we know who to go to.
Thank you very much.
Chad Pratt, a lawyer in Pasadena, California, with us today from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena. Let's get Chuck on the line. Chuck's calling us from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I work for a barter company.
A barter company?
A company that brokers barter deals between businesses. As cash becomes less available to small business, barter becomes more and more attractive.
And what kind of deals are you brokering, for example?
Well, the tire guy who wants to go on vacation, he basically becomes a member of the group, and then he calls up a barter broker. The barter broker then finds a member who does vacations, and now he's trading for vacation. But we don't do direct trade. Since we do a brokerage program, the pizza guy who would have to trade a whole lot of pizza to a tire guy, if they did a direct trade, now can go through a broker and everybody's happy.
So this is a very sophisticated way. I'm assuming you're using technology, computers, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, it's very much like a bank. You have a barter account, and you write barter checks to other barter members, and it goes back and forth from everybody's account.
21st century barter. Who thought it would come back?
Yeah, well, it's the second oldest type of commerce.
I suspect you may be right about that. Chuck, so, thanks very much, and continued good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
So long. Let's see if we can go now to Elizabeth. Elizabeth calling us from Libertyville in Illinois.
Hi.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Well, I work at a public library, and we've just been so busy the last month has just skyrocketed.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
is it just people coming in to borrow, or are you issuing new cards and that sort of thing?
Both, and our circulation numbers are just way up.
Wow. So
yeah.
Borders loss is your gain.
It certainly is.
And is this a good thing, do you think?
Well, from my point of view, it's a really good thing, because we have all these services to offer, and some people don't use them, and we want them to use them.
And it justifies your existence. I'm sure you can now
that
tell
is true too.
The city manager there in Libertyville, see how many people we have? We have to open more libraries.
We are going to open a new library, but it's not for that reason.
Not for that reason. And by the way, any particular category of books that's going particularly strongly?
Well, actually, I noticed a lot of DVDs going out.
DVDs, so people are watching movies.
Sure. Right. I mean, books. People love books, too, but I think some people are maybe going from Blockbuster to the library.
Elizabeth, thanks very much, and good luck to you, too.
Okay, thanks.
The downturn forced some businesses to get creative. Pam Civitillo is a real estate agent with Joshua Johnson Realty in Englewood, Florida. She started giving foreclosure tours in limousines. Pam Civitillo is joining us now from her office in Englewood. Nice to have you on the program today.
Nice to be with you today. Thank you.
And how did you come up with this idea?
Actually, my friend Joanne had came up with the idea, and we developed our strategy together on how we wanted to go into a softer real estate market, how we would handle it.
And why? A lot of people are doing this, from the the safety of a bus. You've decided to go the limo route. How come?
With the limo, you have a closer contact with your people, your clients that are in the car, and you're facing them one-on-one as you're going down the road. And they have a chance to ask you more questions about the community as you're driving along.
Is it hard to get those people over the, I guess it's a little bit of a stigma that, you know, these are foreclosures. People lost their homes here.
Not really, because these are a lot of people that have been waiting to buy a house. And a lot of the foreclosures that we're showing them are people that were investors. So they aren't really individuals that lost their home. They're investors that had bought the houses and were trying to flip them and were unable to flip them before the market softened.
And in that case, they'd probably be owned by the bank, right?
Most of them already are bank-owned, and the houses that we've been showing people are less than a year old and have never been lived in.
And never been lived in. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, foreclosures, and I guess those houses that have never been lived in, and those are short sells, is that the technical term?
Some of them are short sells, and some of them are already bank-owned foreclosure.
And as people drive around in the limo, are they persuadable? Or are people willing to make the bet that this is indeed the bottom of the market?
Most of them are, because most of the people we have been talking to are the baby boomers that have been waiting for the prices to drop and decline and flatten. And in our market, we have basically gotten to the flat spot, and they have been waiting and waiting because we're on the Gulf Coast of Florida. We're a very seasonal community, and this is their second home that they've been waiting to buy for their retirement.
And let's hope they're not running out to get one of those adjustable-rate mortgages.
No, a lot of our deals have been in cash.
In cash?
In cash.
Always a good medium in an economic downturn.
Yes, it is.
Pam Civitillo, thanks very much for your time today, and continued good luck to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pam Civitillo, a real estate agent in Englewood, Florida, with us from her office there. So we're talking about the price of gas and groceries, which are up, and that means that places that pay cash for items like pawn shops and consignment stores have seen an increase in their business. So what are you seeing? Give us your economic report. We're taking calls from people whose businesses are doing a little bit better in the economic downturn. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. When times are tough, it doesn't mean that business is bad for everybody. If you work for a business that's seen an uptick in customers or a different clientele as a result of the economic downturn, call and let us know. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can read what other listeners have to say on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. This is Philippe. Philippe is calling us from Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Oh, Neil, hi, good afternoon. Big fan.
Thank you.
And, well, I'm a tour operator in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I have seen approximately 30% increase on my business versus last year. I know that, believe it or not, even fuel prices, although I travel to places such as Miami and Key West from here, even the fuel prices have helped me out because people actually think about taking my bus tour versus driving themselves and having to pay, you know, for the fuel themselves, especially from Fort Lauderdale to Key West, in addition to receiving more Canadian tourists.
Ah, snowbirds. Snowbirds from Canada.
So, I'll tell you, wonderful travelers. They like to do stuff. Now they have the capacity and the willingness to go ahead and do whatever they want. And I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to the European summer travel season. Extremely good travelers, and, well, they really have a huge bang for the buck, especially if they come to America.
And I guess you're going to have to stock up on strong Euro jokes.
Oh, but I just flew in from Germany, and boy, my arms are tired.
Philippe, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
So long.
Take care.
Here's an email we have from an anonymous writer. I work in the corporate office of a company that has a chain of retail stores across the entire West Coast. There's been a definite uptake in sales in comparison to previous years. This person works in the adult products industry. People are trying to entertain themselves in the home. Another way to get your hands on some cash is a trip to the local pawn shop. James Peacock is co-owner of the pawn shop in Norcross, Georgia, and he joins us now by phone from his store. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How's your business changed over the past couple of months?
Well, it's really changed in the amount of loans that we're doing. We're seeing a lot of hard times out there and a lot of people coming in and pawning their items to get the cash they need.
And those often come with some sad stories.
Yes, well, oftentimes. I mean, I've seen, you know, just today I had a tile worker, and he said he'd much rather remodel a house and to ensure that he gets paid rather than to contract out to do new homes and not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pawning his gold ring, actually, to get some gas money. So I'm seeing that a lot.
That sounds like a wedding ring.
Yep.
And I wonder, has your clientele changed at all?
No, not really. A little bit, I should say. I think I'm seeing a little bit of everybody as far as coming in. I guess my first initial thought there was, sales are down and redeems and interest payments are down. I'm getting more calls for people to say, please don't forfeit my stuff or please extend my due date. I am working on trying to come up with the money and make the payment on the items. I'm seeing a lot more of that.
So business may be up, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your revenue is up.
Exactly right. I mean, the loans are up, and we're helping a lot of people, and we're seeing that, and that's one of our main purposes. That's what we want to do. I mean, that's our goal, is to help people. You can't walk into a bank with your good looks and get the loan and walk out and pay your light bill, but you can bring something that you have, a possession that you have that's of value, and bring it in and get some money and take care of business. So, but in doing that, I mean, I'm getting pretty stocked up here, and I've done a lot of loans. And like you said, I mean, the revenue side isn't there.
And we mentioned sad stories before, and sure, I'm sure a lot of those are true, but I'm sure you've heard an embellishment or two in your life.
Yeah, you're going to get that a little bit. People that are going to embellish a little bit and, about their hard times and what they're going through. But I see a lot of people on foot. Even I've seen, a Mercedes pull off up the street, take their car stereo out and walk down to pawn it to get gas. I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff.
I wonder, when you pawn the stereo out of a Mercedes Benz, do you get enough money to buy a tank full of gas?
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
oh, good.
I mean, usually we like to verify that the item works properly. So we take a chance on some items like that.
So you still accept Blaupunkt?
Yeah.
Okay. And you say fewer people are actually coming back to redeem their goods because, well, times are hard.
Yeah, that's right. It used to be around 70%, I think, and now it's dropped down maybe 50%, maybe even less, of people that come back to get their items.
Well, we hope that the revenue end of your business improves as well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
James P. Cook, co-owner of the pawn shop in Norcross, Georgia. He joined us from there. Here's a blog comment from Bob in Sausalito, California. I'm a financial planner in Sausalito, California. I work on an hourly basis, so my practice attracts people from every hue of the economic spectrum, and my business is on fire, underlined there. I'm seeing people who see their stock portfolios deflate and the equity drain out of their homes. They are suddenly nervous about retirement, and rightly so. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Mike. Mike with us from Boston.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Mike.
Good. I work for a business called Ego Vehicles, and we sell a lightweight, low-speed electric vehicle. Can transport a person about 24 miles an hour up to a range of about 24 miles per charge.
Really? And these are for sale?
Oh, yeah. We've been in business for about 7 years now.
You can drive these on the streets of Boston?
Oh, yes. Boston and all over the country, Oregon, California, Florida. And we find that a lot of people are looking for alternatives to get relatively short distances, whether it be to school or stores or the train station or their jobs even. 15 miles, 20 miles for a single person in a car is really expensive. But if you ride an Ego cycle, it costs you about, 7 or 8 cents to recharge it.
And you say cycle, so how big is this?
It's think of a cross between a Vespa and a bicycle.
So it's open air, shall we say.
It is open air, yeah. So you wouldn't want to ride it in, February in North Dakota.
And March in Boston either. But it's April now, so your business, I bet, is picking
it's
up.
Prime time. And I've noticed our sales, as compared to last year, are up 20% already this year.
Up 20%. And how many vehicles does that add up to?
I don't have an exact number, but...
Give us a ballpark.
It's pretty significant. Several hundred, probably 100 or 150 compared to last year.
All right, Mike, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Mike from Boston. Let's go now to Len, and Len's with us from East Grandview in Connecticut.
Hi, how are you doing, Neil?
Very well, thank you.
I am a former history teacher that has started a cottage industry called Connecticut Cleanout, and I recycle goods from homes, and I have been getting a lot of foreclosure work.
Aha. So as opposed to picking up the recycling people leave out on their lawn, this is after they sell the house and you go in and look for whatever might be able to be recycled.
Well, people contract with me to either come in and get rid of their stuff, but I can proudly say that I've been 100% landfill free and have been able to recycle everything that I have taken thus far. But in terms of the foreclosures, I am seeing an uptick, and this is my first year in business, a pretty good uptick in the amount of calls I've been getting from real estate agents for foreclosed cleanouts.
Having moved house a few years ago now, but nevertheless, the amount of stuff one can accumulate is simply astonishing.
Oh, it's out of sight. I have done jobs where I have filled upwards of 3 30-yard dumpsters, and I still have not finished.
Wow.
So it can be quite extensive.
So given this experience, you think you're going to go back to teaching history?
Well, my three kids want me to because I have been so busy that I'm not spending as much time as I used to with them, and they want me to get back into the classroom so they can get back their time with their father.
And one final question. Again, you're dealing with the after effects of evictions a lot of the time, or foreclosures. Any bad feelings?
Yeah, there's, one of the last large cleanouts that I did was at the end of last week, and it was a family, a very young family, and the couple had twins, and because of money constraints, they just couldn't keep it together, and they ended up splitting up. And especially with my background as a history teacher, it's very easy to piece together stories, that's not something that I like to see, but, you know, be it as it may, it's the business I'm in right now.
Well, continued good luck to you, and we'll see how this works out for you.
Thank you very much.
So long. Here's an email from Eric in Baltimore. Speaking as somebody who runs an eviction crew and does maintenance on foreclosed houses, business has never been better. And this is a comment regarding today's show from Emma. My father owns a home appraisal business that suffered greatly when he refused to lower his standards and morals to bend under the pressure of loan officers and banks to provide less than legitimate appraisals. Now, the results of those corrupt appraisals have wreaked havoc on the economy, and legislation against flaky appraisals is beginning to take effect. His business is beginning to grow again because people recognize his appraiser's work has always been of the highest quality. He's even been hired to review files for the growing number of legal cases over fraudulent appraisals. It's wonderful to see his dedication to legal and moral practice be rewarded. And let's see if we can go to Mark. And Mark's with us from Wisconsin. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Mark from Wisconsin. I'm an owner of a business called Archer Lyon. We're a supplier of window siding and doors to builders and remodelers. And with single-family home building not being what it was a few years ago, we have branched out into senior and assisted living projects, which still seem to be growing very well.
So there are remodeling projects out there available. The business is just changing a little bit.
Yes. While we still work with remodelers and home builders, the senior assisted living memory care units seem to still be enjoying a real surge as we're all growing older and looking for a place to live and with some maybe extra care.
And do you worry that you're going to take up the slack in this market before the regular market of remodels and new construction gets started again?
I really think that, Neil, the senior housing market is so strong and interest rates are really very moderate that those that are constructing these large senior living complexes are not feeling the downturn that the single-family home builder is.
I guess they look at the same demographic numbers that you and I look at and say, there could be a future in this.
Absolutely.
Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
People are digging through their closets, too, in order to make a little money. Amy Higgins is assistant manager at Plato's Closet in St. Cloud, Minnesota. They buy and sell used clothing, and she joins us today from the store. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And I guess your business is up in the past couple of months?
Oh, yes. We have seen a major increase within probably just the last year in terms of the number of people coming in to sell clothes to us, but also in terms of the number of people buying more clothes from us.
And are the kinds of people the same kind of clientele you've usually had over the years?
It's stayed fairly consistent, but more so now we're seeing people drive from further distances to our store, such as from South Dakota, North Dakota, and surrounding areas. And we're also a college-based community, so we see a lot more college students coming in with clothes.
And I guess people come in and tell you why they're there sometimes?
Yeah, most of the time it's, you know, college students needing to get home for gas money, and people who, college students who need to get groceries, but also a lot of people who bring in the clothes and sell them to us turn around and spend the money on cheaper clothes in our store.
And buy cheaper clothes in your same store?
Yep.
Boy, that can be a little sad, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard, but it saves the family a lot of money. We sell things at approximately a third of the retail store's cost, so you're saving them 60% off of an item, basically.
Hmm. Amy Higgins, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Amy Higgins, assistant manager at Plato's Closet Used Clothing Store in St. Cloud, Minnesota, with us by phone today from the store. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email that we have from Abigail in Lawrence, Kansas. I am blessed to be the owner of a small cosmetics business. I'm told there is a lipstick indicator on Wall Street. If it starts going up, it means that the economy is going down. During the Depression, only three industries really thrived: tobacco, alcohol, and cosmetics. I haven't necessarily seen an upturn, but I'm not worried about losing any business, though many women might not want to go out and buy a pair of $80 shoes. They are willing to spend $10 on a lipstick. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Kent. And Kent's calling us from Liberty in Missouri.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
I'm a professional speaker and comedian, and I predominantly speak on humor and stress. And obviously during stressful times, my business increased dramatically.
Because people want, I guess, a little break from their troubles.
I think they want a little break from their troubles, and I think that they also want to talk or want to find out the origins of their stress. And so, yeah, my business goes up. I worked with a guy named Steve Rizzo years ago, and he said during good times people want to laugh, but during bad times they really need us to make them laugh.
And it does occur to me, going back to that email about the businesses that did well in the Great Depression, well, entertainment sure did pretty well during the Great Depression. Let's hope we don't have to reduplicate that to figure out what's going on here.
Yes.
Kent, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
So long. Let's talk now with Chris, and Chris with us from Montague in Michigan.
That's right, Neil. I, along with my partner, run a volunteer, all-organic, all-local, all-humanely raised animal products farmers market, a year-round market. And we are seeing a lot of people sort of that the downturn in the economy and the increased stress seems to have been like the tipping point for a lot of people to actually sit down and think about their diet. And, you know, people shop at our market. We have the highest quality food available in Michigan.
I don't mean to challenge you, but they might be thinking about their wallets, too.
Well, of course, but here's the deal. That costs, our food costs about the same as organic in the supermarket, but it's much fresher, and you get to know the farmer. But the real savings comes from it keeps longer, and your health gets better. And in Michigan, we're in the middle, which many people have called the Depression, not really a recession. We are in such bad trouble. And that people lose their health care very often when in these job downsizing situations. And so one of the best things they can do to save money is actually eat healthy food. And so people are beginning to get that. And the number of people are coming to our farmers market, which is year-round. And we're actually in partnership with a hospital. We actually hold it inside a building owned by a hospital, are coming because they want to have healthy lives, and they see that saving them lots of money.
Food prices in general, farmers products, corn, that sort of thing, wheat, those prices are very strong across the entire country. And I guess you're also benefiting from the shop local trend. So, Chris.
Yeah, and you should understand that the sort of long distance food system, a company here in Michigan spends twice as much shipping tomatoes to Michigan as it does buying them. You know, these are all oil intensive, you know, the corn, the wheat, these big crops are very oil intensive. Our farmers use, because they're organic, do not use petroleum inputs. So their costs are actually much lower. And so their prices are now becoming more and more competitive.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Chris, thanks very much for the call. Coming up, a book of unpublished pieces by the late Kurt Vonnegut. His son joins us to talk about his experiences in World War II as a prisoner of war. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation, NPR News.